This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The last two juz of the Quran, I just want to talk today about the overall theme of this juz of the Quran and why it is important. And the last two juz of the Quran, the 29th and the 30th section of the Quran, they focus primarily on surahs related to the afterlife. Right, as we discussed yesterday with the 27th and the 28th juz, it's the same with the 29th and 30th. So you can see the last four juz of the Quran focus on the afterlife. So we have surahs about Jannah, surahs about Jahannam, surahs about the Day of Judgment, surahs about the end of the world. And what is the reason why these topics are so dominant in this part of the Quran? There is a narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, about these surahs. And remember, these surahs, even though chronologically, in the way we recite it, they come towards the end of the Quran, but historically, in terms of how they were revealed, they are the earliest revelation, right? So she mentions why these surahs were revealed before the surahs about halal and haram. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha says that had the first surah to been revealed, if it had to tell people to stay away from alcohol or zina, they would have said, we're never going to stop doing these things. We're never going to stop sinning. Right? So she said, if the first surahs were the laws of Islam, people wouldn't have followed. Then she said, instead Allah revealed the short surahs in which are mentions of Jannah and Jahannam. And when Iman was firm in the hearts of people, then Allah revealed halal and haram. So this is a very profound statement from Aisha radhiyallahu anha, the great scholar, and our mother from the Sahaba. And in this statement, we can take and understand why these last few sections of the Quran are full of descriptions of paradise and hell and the afterlife and the Day of Judgment, is because this is the prophetic framework of da'wah, that we focus on our beliefs. And when the beliefs become firm in the hearts of people, then the following of the law becomes automatic. You see, nowadays when we deal with people, many of us have it backwards. There may be young people who have doubts about Islam. There may be young people who don't know who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. They don't know anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not sure about whether Islam is the true religion or not. And instead of engaging with their doubts intellectually, you know, we are shouting them for not wearing hijab. And we are screaming at them for not praying salah. And we are fighting with them for even for trivial things about how long their beard is or whether they're wearing a topi or not. But in reality, there's a much bigger issue at play. The bigger issue is the doubts in their heart, the matter of iman and faith. And if we focus on that, if we focus on engaging people and talking to people and helping them to clarify their doubts and teaching them the proofs of Islam and helping them to arrive at the intellectual conclusion that Islam is the true religion of Allah, and then when Iman enters their heart and love of Allah enters their heart, naturally they will start praying salah, they will start observing hijab, they will start taking the halal and haram seriously, because they now have that firm iman in their hearts that this is the true religion of Allah. So from these surahs, we can learn the methodology of da'wah. The methodology of da'wah is that we begin with dealing with the matters of the heart, the matters of aqidah, and then once that is firm, once people are firm in their belief about Islam, then comes the matter of halal and haram. So let us be wise in dealing with people and let us use this methodology in helping people overcome their doubts and to help people come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.